It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Summer is a great time for music festivals, and there are some very high-profile festivals in the state. But you don't have to travel to a big city to hear great music. We're going to talk about two small-town music festivals. In a couple of minutes, Fairfest in Fairfield. But first, Waverly landed a big-ticket music festival this summer, the Gentlemen of the Road Tour, featuring Mumford & Sons.
You may call it in this evening, but you've only lost the night. Preset all your pretty feelings, may they comfort you tonight. And I'm climbing over something, and I'm running through these walls. I don't even know if I believe. I don't even know if I believe. I don't even know if I believe everything you're trying to say to me.
A little bit of Believe by Mumford and Sons. With me now is Graham Garner. He's Vice President for Marketing and Communications for Wartburg College. And Graham, getting the Gentlemen of the Road Tour to come to Waverly is an incredible coup. Can you tell me how this came about?
Oh, you know, I just made a quick call to my friend Marcus and asked him to come to town. No, actually, it kind of came a little bit out of the blue. And I think, truthfully, how a lot of these things happen are just connections and connections. Somebody knows somebody who knows somebody, and eventually you have a reason to connect with each other, and that's kind of what happened here.
And with the Gentlemen of the Road Tour, there's been an actual focus on trying to take it not just to big cities around the United States, but to a few small towns as well, and that's how Waverly got involved. But describe the Gentlemen of the Road Tour for people who aren't familiar with it.
Sure. Well, about 4 years ago, Mumford & Sons started this idea, and this is actually only the third year that they've done it. They didn't do it last year. But the idea of the Gentlemen of the Road stopover tour, or those stopover festivals, is to have a celebration in a town that normally doesn't draw big name acts. And their idea was to help people celebrate, well, in our case, small town America. And, I mean, they're also doing things in Canada, and they do some things in the UK, but they wanted people to celebrate the places that make where we are special. So they said, yes, of course, come and hear great music, and they handpick the artists who are going to play along with them during the lineup. But they also know that they want to be in towns that have their own character, that people can experience and have a wonderful time in, and remember that as more than just, you know, we went to a great concert, but we had a great experience in this great town. And their goal is to do it, hopefully at least one in each of the 50 states and the four Canadian provinces over the next decade or so, or however long it takes them to do all of that.
And you went out to New Jersey already this year to see the first stopover a few weeks ago, right?
Yes, the first stopover of 2015 was just shy of two weeks ago in Seaside Heights, New Jersey, and the organizers of the event brought a delegation of five from Waverly, and we went out there and got to experience a stopover, and it was just an amazing thing. And of course, everyone's unique to the town that it's in, but we were able to identify some things that we could adapt, some lessons that we could learn, and really renew and revitalize our energy and get our town behind this. We've been working on this for 6 months now, so it was good to have that shot in the arm of extra energy and excitement.
What have you had to do to prepare in Waverly?
Sure. Well, we've had to really work on all of this together as a community. I think that early on, a lot of people thought Wartburg College is bringing a band to town. They thought Wartburg College is bringing Mumford & Sons to town. And it's true, you know, colleges do bring artists to town, and people get to experience that, but that wasn't the case here. This is something it really needed to be the whole community, because they weren't just saying, hey, we want to do a concert. They said, we want to have a festival in your town. So that meant getting our city on board with handling all the logistics and safety and traffic flow and all those things that you would imagine. It needed our business community to be on board so that businesses would be excited about this and prepared to provide service and goods to all the people that would be visiting. And frankly, with a main street, a downtown, being a critical part of the experience, we wanted to make sure that we were well decorated and we were in a celebratory fashion, and that people would come here and whether it was their first time to Waverly and seeing how great it was, or whether they've lived here for years, this would be a unique opportunity to see it decorated and celebrating in a way we never have before.
How many people are you expecting?
That is so hard to pin down. And of course, that's the question everyone wants to know. I think realistically right now we're thinking 15 to 20,000 additional people will be in town. So beyond just who lives here and lives in the area. But, you know, we could see more than that. Who really knows?
And people who come will be camping?
Yes. Yes. So if you buy a weekend festival pass, it is all inclusive. It includes, of course, being able to go to the performances on the main stage, performances downtown stage, your parking and your camping. People are camping on our cross country course.
Wow. And I know that there was some news just today that Mumford & Sons, they were going to perform on Thursday and Saturday, but now the Thursday performance has been canceled due to a problem in Chicago.
Yeah.
Is that creating a big problem for you?
Well, if there's one thing we've learned throughout this whole process is that nothing goes as you plan or expect it to. So we just learn to make the adaptations and adjust as we go. Unfortunately, what happened was is just severe weather was a threat for the band getting ready to do their show in Chicago on Montrose Beach and Park last night. That's when they were supposed to do that. And they made the call in the afternoon that they weren't going to be able to do that. So to make up for their fans there, and that was a big deal. My understanding is that that would have been, and still could be, the largest headlining event they have played in the United States. I think that was over 35,000 people. So what they have done is they rescheduled their Chicago concert from Wednesday night to Friday night. Obviously, that has a domino effect for us because since they need to stay in town for Chicago, they won't be able to play that short stripped-down set Thursday night in the downtown that we had just announced a couple weeks ago.
But are tickets still available for the festival, the full festival?
Yeah, absolutely. And truthfully, people are still going to have the complete festival experience. The only thing that had changed in these last couple weeks was Mumford saying, hey, you know what, we're going to come down to the downtown stage on Thursday night that's already scheduled with a lot of great regional bands and some other smaller bands from even not in the region. We're going to come play a little set. And people were excited about that because it's a $5 ticket to get into the downtown each day. Or if you have the weekend festival pass, you can get into anything, anytime. So people thought, wow, that's a great bonus. So it was kind of a, you know, giveth and taketh away very quickly thing. But tickets are still available. People can come to just the downtown if they want and see a lot of great bands for $5 a day. They can buy a single day pass for Friday or for Saturday. They can still buy the full weekend pass that'll get them into everything. So really, there's still lots of options, still lots of opportunity. And of course, the Mumford & Sons is still going to play Saturday night, as everybody has heard from the initial announcement. And that's about a two-hour set, I believe.
All right. Well, Graham, thank you so much for talking with me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having
me. And good luck, and I hope the weather holds for you.
Oh, don't we all?
Graham Garner, Vice President for Marketing and Communications for Wartburg College. He's also been organizing the stopover tour of the Gentlemen of the Road Tour in Waverly. This is Big Decisions by My Morning Jacket, one of the other bands that will be playing at the Gentlemen of the Road Tour. Another great opportunity to listen to live music is coming your way in Fairfield. And James Moore is here with me. He's co-founder of Fairfest, which is a free music festival in Fairfield. Hello, James.
Hello, Charity. Thanks so much for having us on.
And tell me a little bit about Fairfest. What's the concept?
Well, this is our third annual Fairfest. This was a citizen initiative. Some community lovers who just really love music. And Fairfield's a pretty remarkable place, a lot of cultural value and a long tradition of that. We decided, let's go for it. I'm actually station manager at the community station. And the idea was to throw a celebration. I love to hear about what's happening in Waverly because it's similar. And we just pulled out the stops. A lot of great musicians come through Fairfield. And by figuring out who we could bring in, a great team developed, and we launched the first year, 5,000 came. Marco Benevento, New Orleans Klezmer All-Stars, The second year, Los Lobos was our anchor. We made it up to 15,000 people. And this year, we have another great lineup, 50 bands over 3 days, three stages, and the wonderful thing, all free.
And why did you decide that you wanted to do this in Fairfield?
Well, you know what? Fairfield's known for a DIY kind of... Some people say, isn't that crazy? We say, no, it's Fairfield. We just think big and have fun here. And really some folks that wanted to see if we could accelerate things and have a party just said, let's give it a try. So really we just started inch by inch. A great team developed, a great core group, and it's just continued to expand out. This last year we had someone come to move to town who's been working on the National Shrimp Festival for 35 years, started as a little chamber event at the end of the season there in the fall, and has grown to 200,000 people each year now, and she's part of our team. So the local media has been really wonderful getting it all together, and somehow we just thought this would be fun, and we're now in our third year, and it's just going very well.
And why did you decide to make it a free festival?
Well, it kind of went with the community idea. We love that idea of celebrating community. And, you know, there are challenges in that because that means it's money being raised by donors and sponsors. It's just so far we've been able to do that. We just like the concept of that. I know it's a little different than the paid festival, but it goes with it's a nonprofit that's putting it on. And we just like the elegance of that. I think that's the only way I can say it.
Now, you were talking about you had 5,000 people come the first year. Is that what you said?
That's correct.
How many are you expecting this year?
Well, we're hoping to do, we predicted tripling the second year. We hope to do better and then some. 15,000 coming last year. If we could attract, you know, 15, 20, 25,000 over the 3 days. And that means the vendors for the town, for everybody who's on board. And there are more events than just the great artists like Elephant Revival that are playing Telluride and Red Rock. There are Anchor Friday Night, Cyril Neville, who has a brand new record out, just recorded at Muscle Shoals, Grammy Award-winning New Orleans act. And then Greg Brown, we're so delighted to have sort of the singer-songwriter Sunday charity with Greg Brown and Pieta Brown and the Pines, and that was sort of the dream from the very first time we thought about trying to do a festival like this.
So that's coming to fruition this year. Why do you think you were able to make it happen this year? Is Fairfest getting a reputation?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of great press from around the state, and we are delighted to be able to get to speak with you. Our thing, you know, it was the Des Moines Register entertainment editor, I think Joe Lawler, who said he thinks this summer could be the best festival summer in Iowa history. And when you see what's going on, new festivals, as you mentioned earlier, I just think it's lovely. Iowa is a great state, and we're, you know, down tucked in the southeast Iowa corner there. We've been, you know, tagged as a Smithsonian cultural and arts place. We just think Iowa is great, and we're pleased to be part of the landscape with this kind of cultural upsurge. And I love also what Graham was talking about, having a bigger idea than simply musical, because we're calling it music and more. There's literary tracks, sustainability tracks, things for children to do, the Carnegie Museum, the bike trail, and it's really that buy-in with the community, vendors, and the whole town that just is really a lot of fun.
Well, and over 50 bands in 3 days, how many stages do you have?
Well, it's three stages, and by the way, we should say, you mentioned about, you know, it is Iowa, right? It might rain, but we have the whole thing centered around the downtown area, the cultural district, which is very beautiful, by the way, and around the Civic and Convention Center, Arts and Convention Center. So we've had rain, and then we're able to shift inside and keep things going. And also, Charity, what's really fun, even when the event's over on the main stage, we have a number of bars and clubs in town that then continue right through the night. So the after parties and alley parties and different things, oh, it's really fun.
What do you feel like Fairfest has done for Fairfield?
Well, I think Fairfest is a way of celebrating the unique quality of what we are here. And I say that because when the artists come through, we always have very good reactions of, oh, this town, there's such a high number of musicians here that it's a special quality for the musicians. They all seem to say, we love coming here. Mike Dillon has been here out of New Orleans two years. He was going to come this year. He said, the only reason I wouldn't make it back is if I'm on tour with Les Claypool and Primus in Europe. Well, he's going to try to Skype in. So really, it's developing these relationships. It's more than just the music part of it, and that's really fun. We have people on our core committee that have been involved with music their whole lives. They love music. They love putting on a show like this, and we have great buy-in from the Convention and Visitors Bureau, the chamber, the city, the county. And you know what? I think it has a way of sort of unifying. When the big stage goes up, Charity, it's amazing. It's like a big spaceship has landed right in the little town. And when you think of a town of 10,000 attracting 15 or 20,000, it's kind of it's fun.
How much time did you spend planning this? How long has the planning process been going on?
Well, we started with back in October with weekly meetings, and then we have different core groups that kind of buy out. It's our little version of RAGBRAI in a way, that wonderful tradition that is so, you know, over all the years, you get the pieces all going in a row. And so we start early, and we get a lot of different pieces going. It's a long process, and it's a volunteer effort. You know, it's a nonprofit, so people often ask who gets all the money, but we like to emphasize we're talking free. And if you're interested, fairfestiowa.com. It's almost too much to talk about because we have regional, national, local acts, just a wonderful arc from Newgrass, Americana, to blues and rock. Sam Yannis is going to be performing, formerly of the Bodines. The Shook Twins have been making a lot of waves out of Idaho. And so it's a great arc from bluegrass to Newgrass.
Well, James, thank you so much for talking with me.
Well, you bet. Thank you so much, Charity. Yeah. Keep up the good work.
James Moore, co-founder of Fairfest, taking place tomorrow through the 21st, a free music festival in Fairfield, Iowa. We'll go out with a little bit of Greg Brown, who will be performing at Fairfest on Sunday.
It's another day. A spring wind blew my list of things to do away. Friends are getting older, so I guess I must be too. Without their loving kindness, I don't know what.
I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
The money is all spent, and we're a cross between our parents and hippies in a tent. Love calls like the wild birds. It's another day. A spring wind blew my list of things to do away. In a mucked up lovely river, I cast my little fly. I look at that river.